next on the 5 o'clock report.
The idea that he would make it until 86 years old is not something that I think is likely.
They're too young to see a rated R movie.
There are less apartments available for new renters.
This horrible pain in my left leg
made me certainly believe that there is such things as godsends.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Family Life News anchor Sarah Harnish. It is quite a busy day at the White House.
Mr. President, thank you very much for your warm welcome once again.
The U.S. and South Korea allies hanging out today. The president will host South Korea's president at a state dinner tonight. The two countries have North Korea on their minds.
President Biden and his South Korean counterpart will announce what they're calling the Washington Declaration. It's a series of steps designed to strengthen military ties in the face of nuclear threats from North Korea. It will include the first deployment of a U.S. nuclear ballistic submarine to South Korea since the 1980s.
In return, South Korea will not pursue its own nuclear program. The president tried to hold a press conference on that meeting, but instead was asked about his age and running for a second term.
I can't even say the number. It doesn't register with me. But the only thing I can say is that one of the things that people are going to find out, they're going to see a race, and they're going to judge whether or not I have it or don't have it.
Here's the number he can't say. He would be 86 years old when he wraps up his time in office. If he was elected again, Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley was asked about Biden's ability to serve another 4 years.
If you vote for Joe Biden, you really are counting on a President Harris, because the idea that he would make it until 86 years old is not something that I think is likely.
Haley supports mental competency testing for all government officials who are 75 or older. Ukraine and China are talking, and the U.S. is happy about it. Ukraine's President Zelensky reports he had a, quote, long and meaningful phone call, as he put it, with President Xi. It comes weeks after China huddled with Russia.
We've been saying for quite some time that we believe it's important for President Xi and PRC officials to avail themselves of the Ukrainian perspective on this illegal and unprovoked invasion by Russia.
That's National Security Council spokesman John Kirby. Democrats and Republicans in the U.S. Senate came together today proposing a new bill that would ban social media platforms for everyone under the age of 13 and offer limited social media for 14 to 17-year-olds.
They're too young to see a rated R movie. They're too young to be exposed to much of the content that is on social media and manipulating what they think, what they feel about themselves and others.
That's Arkansas Republican Tom Cotton. The war between Disney and the Florida governor may be heading to the courtroom. Walt Disney World is filing a lawsuit against Ron DeSantis after the newly appointed governing board for Disney's district voted to void a set of last-minute agreements. Disney says DeSantis is using, quote, a relentless campaign to weaponize government power. DeSantis says Disney's free lunch is over. There was explosive testimony on Capitol Hill today about the consequences of having an open southern border. A key witness is telling Congress that the U.S. government has become the middleman in a multi-billion dollar child trafficking operation. We get more from Brooke Singman at Fox News.
Children are being trafficked through a sophisticated network that begins with being recruited in their home country, smuggled to the U.S. border, and then ends when the Office of Refugee Resettlement delivers a child to a sponsor. Some sponsors are criminals and traffickers and members of transnational criminal organizations.
The volume of unaccompanied children stranded at the southern border has surged to more than 70,000 this year alone. The head of the nation's second largest teachers union, Randy Weingarten, testified before Congress today about the consequences of closing school during the age of COVID. Here's Texas Congressman Michael Clout.
She was brought in just before much of the guidance was released, not to weigh in out of any sort of scientific expertise, but to weigh in for the political decisions that were made. And of course, we know that hurdles were put in those guidance to schools opening up and getting kids back in. And we've seen the devastating learning loss that's occurred because of kids were left out of school for so long.
Weingarten was a key figure figure in keeping schools shuttered during COVID lockdowns. Washington State Governor Jay Inslee has signed a law banning private citizens from owning AR-15s.
It is a victory over weapons of war.
Gun rights groups plan to sue. AR-15s are now banned in 9 states. Nearly 675 professors have signed a petition opposing a state measure in North Carolina that requires college kids take courses on America's founding and Constitution. They call it an infringement on academic freedom. Less than half of all American college kids can name all 3 branches of government. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, the rent is too high for people living in upstate New York. A rabid fox bit 6 people in Brighton, and spring turkey season is about to kick off in Pennsylvania. We'll take a look at all of those stories after a check of weather with our man in the know, Kevin Williams. This is Family Life News.
Generally partly cloudy. There'll still be a shower, even a rumble of thunder in some parts of the I-81 corridor, especially east. And then overnight tonight, we're down into the upper 20s and 30s. Tomorrow, a good deal of sunshine, but also the nicest day for a while. Milder than recent days by a few degrees, mid-50s to mid-60s. Friday, a little sun early, but clouds thickening with some rain or rain showers arriving by the afternoon and evening. High temperatures Friday primarily, 56 to 61.
Thank you, Kevin. Checking the stories, making news where you live across New York and Pennsylvania. A bill that would require all child care centers in the Keystone State to have carbon monoxide detectors is another step closer to becoming law. We get this story from Family Life's Greg Gillespie.
The PA House approved the bill this morning. Sponsor Jeannie McNeil said she has proposed it after 32 people were hospitalized in Allentown due to a carbon monoxide leak in 2022. The requirement still needs Senate approval and a governor's signature. The state has already agreed to provide free 2 carbon monoxide detectors to every daycare in the state, paid for by a federal grant. Carbon monoxide is a colorless, odorless gas. Poisoning can cause long-term health problems or death. Greg Gillespie, Family Life News.
It is called House Bill 300, and pro-family forces fear that it could pass today. In Pennsylvania, no word on it yet. The measure adds sexual orientation to existing state anti-discrimination law. House Bill 300 strips religious groups of their right to hire employees who share their beliefs about sexuality. It also forces charities to allow men into women's shelters and mandates that doctors perform sex reassignment surgeries against their conscience. It's hard for renters across New York State this year. Inflation is relentless. In Rochester, Ithaca, Syracuse, Corning, rents are up significantly over last year.
I would say on average, we're looking at like 100 to 200 extra per person a month from last year, which is unfortunate, but it's just kind of the world we're living in.
Joe Massad has been a landlord in Rochester for 8 years.
There are less apartments out there available for new renters, which means prices are going to even go higher. There's so much demand for apartments, a lot less supply.
He says the positive post-pandemic changes to the housing market are not trickling down to the renting market. The Pennsylvania county, which drew national attention at November's election, is stocking up and assuring that things are ready. Precincts ran out of paper, meaning voters had to stick around for extra hours to use Luzerne County's ballot marking machines. That problem won't be repeated when Wilkes-Barre area voters come back to vote in a few weeks.
We'll be using paper ballots for the primary election. So
Emily Cook of the Luzerne County Elections Office says a ballot marking machine will be available at each precinct to help any voter needing accommodations. New York Jet Aaron Rodgers held his first news conference this afternoon after the longtime Green Bay quarterback changed teams. Rodgers told reporters that he watched old VHS videos of previous Super Bowls, including when a Jets win was predicted more than 50 years ago.
And so obviously I know about the guarantee and Broadway Joe. Been a while since then. I noticed walking in this morning that Super Bowl III trophy is looking a little lonely. So
the Jets have not been in the NFL playoffs since the 2010 season. It's been a long time trend that Medicaid reimbursements do not cover what medical facilities must pay to provide services to those patients. 6 upstate New York mayors joined together today to request Governor Hochul boost Medicaid reimbursements to hospitals and nursing homes. The mayor said they hear, quote, almost daily from their local healthcare facilities of their financial struggles. Utica, Syracuse, Rochester, Plattsburgh, and Buffalo Buffalo signing that letter. Pennsylvania State Senator Doug Mastriano wants to improve the police response time to drug overdoses. He thinks cops should report overdoses to a statewide mapping system within 3 days of an incident.
This new law will improve overdose response, help those with addictions get the treatment they need to get out of this cycle of addiction, and as well as getting these drug traffickers off the streets.
2 years ago, Laura Schanefelter lost her son Tyler to a drug overdose.
I don't want other parents to go through what I go through on a regular basis.
He took pills laced with fentanyl. A 14-year-old boy is accused of stealing a Kia in the city of Rochester, New York. Cops caught him doing donuts in the road near Chilai Avenue. The chase ended when the teen driver flipped the stolen car over on the other side of the city. Police say they've had it with these sorts of crimes and promise to make parents pay.
We're going to continue to hold the adults responsible. In some of these cases where we can tie back to lack of guardianship from the parents, we will arrest the parents, we will arrest the guardians for not providing that proper supervision.
So far this year, 65 juveniles have been charged in the city of Rochester with car theft. Youth outreach expert Victor Saunders says these kids don't realize the kind of risk that they take when they steal vehicles.
The risk of somebody stealing a vehicle and driving so recklessly that the police can't even chase them terrifies me.
Cops say the stolen vehicles are often used in smash and grab robberies, and juvenile delinquency is out of control in the city of Rochester. A fox that bit half a dozen people last week in Brighton, New York, had rabies. Those who were attacked are encouraged to get tested. Shirley Jacobson tells WHAM News what happened to her last Friday.
I felt this horrible pain in my left leg. I thought somebody was sawing it off. And there are puncture marks all around my ankle, all the way around.
Rabies can be deadly if not treated quickly. And Pennsylvania hunters are getting ready for the opening of the spring turkey season. 170,000 hunters are expected to flock to the woods this weekend. The month-long gobbler season runs from April 29th through May 30th.
What happens to credit card debt when a loved one dies? Hi, I'm Rob West, and this is your Faith and Finance Minute. In most cases, surviving family members are not responsible for the deceased credit card debt, but not always. Consider these two scenarios. In the first, you're just an authorized user of the card, and you haven't signed for it, so you're not responsible for the debt. In the second, you're a joint cardholder. In that case, you have signed the agreement and taken full responsibility for any outstanding balance. The issuer then has a legal right to collect from you or the estate. Regardless, Christians should always honor their debts. Proverbs 3:27 reads, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it." Discover the best Christian financial articles, podcasts, and videos by visiting our website, faithfi.com, or by downloading FaithFi, Faith and Finance from your app store.
Coming up next on the 5 o'clock report, they lost their son because he lost his kidney, and now they're using their kidneys to save other lives. We'll take a look at that story after one last check of weather with Kevin Williams.
So here's our call for the evening hours, generally partly cloudy. There'll still be a shower, even a rumble of thunder in some parts of the I-81 corridor, especially east. And then overnight tonight, we're down into the upper 20s and 30s. A bubble of high pressure is set to deliver a decent amount of sunshine tomorrow, mid-50s to mid-60s. Friday, early sun in central New York, otherwise ending up cloudy with some rain or showers moving into many areas. High temperatures Friday, mostly in the 50s.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at 5, donors paying it forward. One husband and wife lost their son to kidney failure as an infant. He needed a transplant and no one showed up. Now in their 60s, both decided to see if they could still donate a kidney at their age, blessing not one but two families. And guess what? They got approved. This man was one of the recipients after being on dialysis for 10 years while looking for a donor.
You know what Mark did? Made me certainly believe that there is such things as God sends. Mm.
The wife's kidney went to a 2-year-old boy named Connor.
He's doing great. Yeah. After surgeries, a few rough days, but yeah. Overall he bounced back quickly, and we've noticed a lot of changes. More energy, more active, more smiles. You can tell he's feeling a lot better.
So get back to
being a normal 2-year-old.
He was given a second chance at life.
Turning tragedy into healing, the family gave what their son needed to help others in their pain.
It's really full circle for me. And
I say it's redemptive healing.
That is the world that we live in for Wednesday, the 26th of April. I'm Sarah Harnish, and this is the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.